Blog Talk Radio.
This is Peter Paul Berzola, and it's Thursday, October 22nd. We're supposed to have a guest, Tony Hall, former supervisor, City and County of San Francisco, and was involved with the development or overseeing the development on Treasure Island, which was the largest man-made island naval base on the West Coast, probably in the United States. And I hope he shows up this time. It was a screw-up last time. His fault, not mine. But anyway, if you want to call in at 1-347-633-9620. And today is for those of you who are Texans and who are have an interesting attitude toward Texans. It's like people in the East have an attitude. View New Yorkers with kind of a disdain. But anyway, today Sam Houston was and became the first president of the Republic of Texas. A lot of people don't know that after the defeat at the Alamo of the Jim Bowie and the rest of that crowd, the Texans got their act together and under General Sam Houston defeated Santa Anna. General Santa Anna, who was called the Napoleon of the West. There are three good movies. One, the earliest one, was done without soundtrack, and that was done in the early 1900s. And then there have been several others, the one with John Wayne and Lawrence Harvey. Lawrence Harvey, interestingly, that was his stage name. He was you've probably seen him in a lot of movies. He was actually a South African citizen who was a Lithuanian Jew by birth. Interesting guy. He dropped dead of a heart attack at a relatively young age. But he acquired a Texas accent, and he was in that one. And then there have been two on the History Channel. And, of course, there's been some revisionist history, but for those of you who are interested in accurate history, you ought to look at all of those. Also today... Interesting. Let's see. 1928, Herbert Hoover gave a speech to the country in which he called on Americans to adopt rugged individualism, and that's something that's very apropos for today because a lot of people are, more and more people are trying to hang on to what they've got and not lose anything or try to regain what they've lost. And we'll be putting up some tips. I've got part of my software problem resolved, and be more stuff on YouTube on who's ripping off the poverty program, who has ripped it off, who has profited from it, and how these people even get their hands, these bogus nonprofits, even get their grubby hands on all of these federal and foundation funds. It's something that every American who's concerned about a real charity and how money from foundations and the government's various programs, the lack, a growing lack of accountability. And when citizens do speak out and try to get accountability, they get intimidated by groups like ACORN and some of the homosexual, lesbian, NAMBLA groups more and more because they want more AIDS money. I don't know... If how many people got this news today, Nancy Pelosi, NAMBLA Nancy, the representative from San Francisco and Speaker of the House, was trying to ram through permanent AIDS funding for San Francisco. You know, let's keep the gravy train going for eternity. Well, interestingly, she got rebuffed. This may be the beginning of the end for her career as Speaker of the House, and hopefully as a legislator. She's made a lot of money in real estate, and she's got a winery, overpriced wine. So a lot of people think that's where she belongs, crushing grapes, and instead of crushing opponents or trying to. Excuse me. And in, get this, in 1964, the famous French author Jean-Paul Sartre, he refused the Nobel Prize for Literature. And there are a growing number of people who think that Obama should have refused the Nobel Prize for Peace when he hasn't done anything. But of course, and the people who should have been offered it to begin with, but lately that prize has been very politicized by especially that incident in Bolivia where that woman faked the terrorist attack on her family. And the whole thing was a scam, and it's unfortunate because there have been deserving people such as Mother Teresa who have received the prize, and there are other people who do the work who don't get the publicity, and they work in the vineyards of the Lord and Buddha and whatever, and they should be recognized for their efforts instead of this political hype we've been getting. Also in 1978, since we're on the subject of Mother Teresa, who was recently canonized in the Roman Catholic Church as a saint. In 1978, John Paul II was the first non-Italian in about 1,000 years to become Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. He was Polish originally. An interesting man, worked in the coal mines during World War II, and I guess he was in the Polish resistance. But much beloved Pope, and they're trying to canonize him already. But for those of you who don't know or aren't familiar with the Catholic Church's procedure, it really gets involved. They have to be documented miracles. It takes a while. And when people tried to push a quick canonization of somebody like John Paul II, the conservatives and the theologians in the church hold back because in the past there have been popes as well as some saints who have been, people who have been canonized as saints turn out not to have been people at all. So nobody wants there's so much of this propaganda, which we not only see in the media and in politics, but it does happen in the churches. One of the things I was hoping that our guest would call in, but he hasn't. There's things for people to think about. On today on NPR, there's a congressman who's a former naval officer, or a retired naval officer, not former, and his name is Eric Massa. Fascinating man, Democrat in a New York district, and he is a Democrat in a Republican district in New York. And he's his own man, and he sounds like a gruff naval captain. And he's the one of the few congressmen who are speaking out and are not going to be taken for granted in Nancy Pelosi's Obamacare public option and all of that. And he was on NPR, if you can catch those interviews on this guy. He even takes calls from constituents, which is something most congressmen do not do. That's why they have that phalanx of young staffers to, kind of calm people's concerns and angers and often mislead them, to take the heat off of their boss. So that's one of the things that came up in this movie Outed by Clayton Dick. That's his name, in which they made a big publicity splash about that, about congressmen and media people who were supposedly in the closet. Outing, I always say, and decent people say, that is it wishful thinking, is it malicious, or is it an outright lie? What people do in their private lives with other consenting adults, or by themselves, that's their business. But when they politicize their sexual preference, then that's the public's business, and these people should be rebuffed and you know, told to go back in into their apartment and do whatever they want, but don't bring it out in the street, scare the horses and get the dogs a barking, as my grandmother used to say. But anyway, I think there's a growing public awareness and a growing disdain about the radicalism that we're seeing in American politics and in American society today. There was a thing in Condé Nast, a news item about San Francisco being the number one place to visit. But this city is being wrecked by an epidemic of reckless driving. I have been a victim of it, and other people I know have been victims of it, and I had to investigate a couple of these cases when I was in the legal profession. But the laws are not enforced, and this is interesting. We're seeing more and more reckless bicyclists. They think they have special rights, privileges, and exemptions. And I looked up the California codes on bicycles, and they're supposed to be licensed. And, you know, they're causing more and more accidents on the streets, hitting pedestrians, going out into traffic against the lights. And then when they are reprimanded by drivers, they kick the driver's car, break the radio antenna, and do other public disruption. And we had a thing here, a massive disobedience on the last Friday of the month called Critical Mass. And what these people did, these bicyclists got together in a cabal, a whole mass of them, and blocked traffic on the freeways at rush hour on the last Friday of the month. And people were furious. It's a wonder that some of these bicyclists didn't end up with spokes in their throat. The concern was, especially blocking traffic on a freeway, if there was an emergency, and we often have ambulances in old people's homes, going to old people's homes, and these ambulances need clear streets. They couldn't clear the streets with this critical mass, which blocked traffic for nearly 3 hours. We took some pictures. There were even some of these stupid people riding nude, and they should have been arrested for unesthetic exposure. But, you know, this is the town where the theme song is Anything Goes, and actually doesn't. Even the former mayor and police chief, Frank Jordan, repeatedly said that San Francisco is a town where anything goes. But even the people who are here are getting tired of it because this agenda has consequences and costs. Got a slight cold there, so bear with me. I don't know where my guest is. I am very disappointed. This is the third time he's, but anyway, we're going to continue to wing it. Now, the other things that people should be looking at, it's coming up again. This is the 20th anniversary of the second major San Francisco earthquake. The first one was in 1906, and I recommend a book, Denial of Disaster, by David Fowler was the editor. The author was San Francisco's former historian, Gladys Hansen. It's a great book, and a lot of history in it. In fact, Bank of America got started. It was called the Bank of Italy, and Alfred A.P. Giannini got all of his money and put it in a cart and protected the. That was before there was the Federal Deposit Insurance. And later became the Bank of America. And the Bank of America today was bought out by that North Carolina bank, Nations, which there are a lot of problems there with excessive salaries and all that. On Fox News today, something very interesting came up. This judge, Napolitano from New Jersey, he was not a federal judge. He was a state court judge. He teaches law at, I forgot the law school. Very articulate. He looks like an Italian Don. He would have been great in The Godfather as a lawyer. But anyway, they brought up the issue that when the bailout money went to these banks and these other organizations, there were no strings attached, specifically no contract clauses, no contracts in which there were clauses which specifically limited or would have limited the executive pay and the other pay within these financial institutions. So Judge Napolitano, he's retired, said that this is a basic violation of the Constitution and there should be court challenges on it. And if there aren't, this is an awful precedent and we're moving closer and closer. This is my analysis of it and forecast, be moving closer and closer to government dictating salaries for everybody in every profession and every industry, and it'll be like the old Soviet Union. Interestingly, there is a growing revolt, and well, it's been simmering for a long time in the former Soviet Union, where people were, and even in East Germany, where people were expected that they were going to get a certain salary as set by the Communist Party, the Presidium, which was their legislative body. And now that with the so-called democratization of the old Soviet Union and the new Federal Republic of Russia, these people who were accustomed to having the government guarantee them a salary for life and at a certain rate, they're not getting that, so they're practically up in arms. But do we want to go that way? I don't think so. And I think President Herbert Hoover's comment that about speech about rugged individualism, I haven't read the whole text, we do need to exert some individualism because that's what made America great. Interesting, those of you who are dog lovers, and I'll be bringing up, I was able to transfer some of the tapes that I've done for Western Public Radio and KLW, stuff that I did in Australia and Canada, New Zealand. The media veterinarian of Australia, Dr. Robbie Reed, excuse me, and she was great voice. And she's kind of like the Barbara Woodhull. She was like 6 feet tall plus. Great veterinarian. Anyway, it's not known that President Hoover and brought, or his wife, these were his wife's dogs, were Norwegian elk hounds. The only president to, or his family to have those type of dogs. And, of course, the biggest menagerie of animals in the White House was with Teddy Roosevelt. The funniest thing that happened in that period when Coolidge was succeeded Harding after Harding died, and Harding had a dog called Letty Boy. One of his dogs, it was a pit bull, chased, I think it was the French ambassador up a tree and ripped his pants. And Teddy thought that was bully. You know, that was his phrase, and still is saying BS or whatever, you know, or good for you. There wasn't a diplomatic incident over that, but it was amusing for Teddy anyway. But interestingly, there's another movie. You know, I like to promote the movie since I'm in that field making videos now again. The Lion and, what the heck was it, Sean Connery and Candice Bergery, Lion in the Wind. I think John Huston produced it, but it was based on a true historical event in North Africa at the turn of the century when Teddy Roosevelt was running for his second term. And this Berber was concerned about the attempted exploitation of his country in North Africa, which was just before World War One, and he kidnapped this gorgeous woman and was going around killing people, trying to give them a message to say, hey, lay off our people and get out, and, you know, stop trying to exploit us. And his name was Razuli, and the American press was very upset about Americans being abducted by this Berber, and some political strategist came up with the campaign phrase, Razuli alive, or dead, something like that. Anyway, Teddy Roosevelt used that and was reelected on the basis that helped his image as a man who would stand up for American interests and protect American lives. In fact, he sent a detachment of Marines, I think it was to that country. I think it was Morocco, if I'm not mistaken. But The Wind and the Lion, I would recommend that film. It's been reissued on CD. And again, to help people understand what the history of Afghanistan and the Europeans who have been there are trying to exploit the place, mostly the Russians, I would recommend the old version, the 1936 version of the Charge of the Light Brigade, and we'll see if we can't put a clip of that up on YouTube. The tape I had broke. So I'll try to put it up because there's an incident there where was it Errol Flynn is talking to his boss, the Governor General, Aerofron was a captain in the British Army, not the Bengal Lancers. And the Russians were, there's a diplomatic reception, and the Russians came, and the Wily Governor General says, you know, knows they're up to mischief and everything. And this is just before the involvement of Britain and French, the French and the Russians in the Crimean War. But it gives you an illustration that the Russians have always been up there causing trouble, and they finally learned their lesson. In the last Russian-Afghan war, unfortunately, what we got out of it was the Taliban, which has caused no end of continuing problems. I was in Canada covering a convention, and I was in the Associated Press newsroom talking to the director there, bureau chief, and something was coming over the wires from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And he shooed me out after he got the message. I guess there was more to it. But anyway, what had happened was a freighter had docked in the port of Montreal, and the RCMP discovered or had a tip that it was carrying a lot of heroin. And, of course, the drugs that came out of Afghanistan, the heroin, the opium, was used to finance the Taliban's campaign to get rid of the Russians. Unfortunately, what we thought was the cure has turned out to be much worse for us. But I thought it was interesting that the Taliban was shipping those drugs over to the continental United States and Canada, and it was intercepted. I hope there's not more of that stuff coming in, but they say that the opium trade and the poppies commerce and the traffic in it is even more is more of it now than it ever was. There's another movie, The Poppy Is Also a Flower, with E.G. Marshall, Omar Sharif, and if you want to understand how that the opium gets out of that area of the world and how it's transmitted into the West, and also the great movie The French Connection with Popeye. You should see that, and you'll understand how the stuff came into Italy, was how they converted, put it into cans. I think it was tomato cans or something, and it was being shipped to places like New York and all that. And that's how that stuff came in, you know, got it, was imported in the United States. Also, here's an interesting bit of history. During World War II, the Navy, which was our first intelligence department, they wanted to keep the New York docks free of sabotage because in World War I, the Germans, the Kaiser's people, were stirring up trouble and trying to seduce sailors and all that. And there was the notorious Black Tom explosion, which has never been solved completely, where a ship carrying munitions on, I think, the New Jersey side exploded, and they call it the Black Tom explosion. So the Navy, to keep the longshoremen in line, made a deal with Lucky Luciano, who was the big mafia boss. He was in a New York State prison, and they went to him and said, look, you help us keep the locks free, the docks free of any labor strife and sabotage and all of that, and we'll see that you get free after the war, after we win the war, and also help us with your people in Italy, you know. And that's when, you know, the Mafia started as a freedom-fighting group against the Austrians, because the Austrians dominated Italy for many, many years. But anyway, after the war, Luciano got double-crossed, and the Department of Justice and Truman administration shipped him, deported him back to Italy, where he came from originally. So he got even with us by stepping up the narcotics trade, and he died of a heart attack. But the problems he caused, we're still dealing with those today. So it just shows you, you know, sometimes our foreign policy and military policy is short-sighted, and we're giving away, making promises that, you know, and then not keeping them, and so we end up paying the price both ways. So it's something that Americans should always think about. I guess Tony is not going to call in. I'm very disappointed. But anyway, I'm winging it. We will have, here's what's coming up. The famous actor, the famous author, Jack Cashel, will be my guest on a special October 28th broadcast, live broadcast. I hope nothing happens to Jack in the meantime. He's made a lot of the wrong enemies, too. Oh, actually, enemies. Great author, many books. He wrote, he's been behind the campaign to free Stephen Neri to get Governor Schwarzenegger to pardon Stephen Neri, the young sailor who's been railroaded into state prison and abused for 13 years. It's a case, it's one of the worst abortions of justice in world history, with all the things that have gone on and were suppressed by the morons in the media. They actually were coming in and examining evidence and going to lunch with the jury during the trial or were invited to, and there's something, some of the things that I witnessed. Anyway, he will be our guest, and for the month of November, we are going to salute the military men of the world whose exploits and heroism didn't get much publicity, if any at all, and we will have the last British American survivor of Gallipoli, Colonel Hodges, who served in the British Army at Gallipoli in World War I, and he became ill, and he was evacuated on the sister ship of the Titanic, which was later sunk. It's called the Britannic. And then the American general, Berrigan, who was the deputy at Normandy, who worked on the Mulberry Bridges, the British invention, to get to build those bridges to get the heavy equipment ashore, a former agent of the Special Operations Executive, British, I think it was Lieutenant Traylor, Captain Traylor, I think it's his last name. It's been a long time since I talked to him. Anyway, he talks about this is not known. There were a lot of Irish who joined the British Army during World War II. In fact, those of you who are like Brendan Behan's are familiar with his work. He was a Borstal boy, which was mean juvenile character, and he to get out of juvie, he had to join the British forces. And later became a drunk and some other things. There's a movie out called The Borstal Boy. It's about his life. Fascinating movie and very accurate. Let's see, who else? And then we're going to... I have some others that... I have one called How Did Patton Treat His Veterinarian? A lot of people don't know that veterinarians also served in our armed forces and what they did. It's quite interesting. And, of course, those of you who know General Patton and know of his exploits, he was one of the finest horsemen ever to be in the history of the American military. And, of course, he was the opposite of General Custer, who was known as a horse killer. During the Civil War, cavalry battalion, they killed about 5,000 horses a month. And Lincoln was going nuts because he was getting these horses. They had to buy horses to replace the ones that were being killed and ones that had to be put down. And they were being sold, some bum steers, as it were. And a famous law, which I'll get into, called Quitam, came out of that, which means that a citizen who knows of theft against the government or not can file a quitam lawsuit, but there's a specific procedure that you must follow. Anyway, I want to thank you who have listened, and I hope you will tune in next week. And this is Peter Paul Verzolo, working with the New Shadow, and we'll disclose who some of those people were. It's a group of people who've been fighting and documenting public corruption, pedophilia in the schools, illegal aliens, vote fraud, and the morons in the media who lie, distort, and omit, and cause the rest of us a lot of problems. Anyway, but we want to keep people positive, and don't give up. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel isn't as long as you think, and we just got to keep moving forward. And as Satchel Paige says, don't look behind you. Somebody might be catching up. So again, thank you for listening, and we will be back Tuesday. I'm going to try something else. We might add another segment or repeat. have to discuss it with some people. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. You're free to contact me at amicusveritas@sbcglobal.net or go to the YouTube Amicus Veritas videos. This is Peter Paul. Thanks.